I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you mother...
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hello, hello, welcome to Bart Cop Radio. It's show number 131. Glad you can make it. My name is Bart. Radio to you. Radio. Radioing to you live from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And today it's back up in the damn 70s. I'm in my shorts again. We're grilling chicken out in the backyard. I don't understand what it is with this weather. We get ice storm of the century 2 weeks ago. Now it's July and December. What are you going to do? Why, hey, hey, got a big, big show for you today. Let me see what all we got. See, we got some Mike Malloy in there. We got some earthquake. People have been writing saying, Bart, we need more earthquake. And okay, we got some. Got some positive feedback on those red state boys. You know, I generally don't like when someone smart acts like a, I'll start saying okie hick, but that's what I do for a living. But anyway, they act like a couple of rubes, but if you listen to what they're saying, it's really on, and they do a spectacular job of delivery, too. Most of today's show was done in like a two-hour period. I just felt like I got on a roll, picked up some newspapers, went through it. Some people have been saying, we don't want to hear so many of the clips. We don't want to hear Nazi gas bags. Why don't you read the paper and get pissed off? And I can do that. Don't know if it's all going to fit, so tell you what, let's get the shot of Chinako out the way. Oh, this Chinako came from Tunis. T-U-N-I-S. Tunis sent me a bottle of Chinako, and for that he has radio. I'm pretty sure he's going to hear this because he just got his Bart Cop radio turned on for a year. And all he had to do is send in a bottle of Chinako, and yeho. If you send that other stuff, all you can do is sterilize instruments with it. Got to have the anejo to qualify. Okay, so let's do a shot of this. Oh, it's so good. I tried to blow it up my nose before it was ready. Well, that is real nice. I sure am glad. I told the story 10 times. They're going to tell you again, but a while back I went broke, and I thought, well, I can't give up the Chinako, so I'm going to have to learn how to ration it and start sipping it. Oh, damn, that's the day I figured out how good tequila was. Thank you, God. Okay, no time to waste. Got a big, big show.
This is www.bartcop.com.
To die for.
Every brother ain't a brother.
Come on.
Yeah. Every brother ain't a brother.
Believe that.
Every brother ain't a brother.
Selling your soul, don't sell your soul, man. Yo.
Every brother ain't a brother.
You got my back and I got yours.
The reporter looked just like me or you, but that don't mean the man was cool. He understood when I said that it was death to integrate, cause integrate means assimilate. But the media hate the youth, love to spread lies and distort the truth. They say the pen is stronger than the sword, but the sword to give any house nigga is just reward.
Monday to Friday.
And now here begins the sad, sad story of what happened to Bart Cop Radio 131. No, I didn't lose it all, but I just lost a big chunk of it. And oh, I wish Tommy Mac was still mixing this. Maybe somehow I could have blamed it on him. But it was my own damn fault. I'm going to give you the short version of what happened. I don't have much of a brain. We want to give you the very highest quality we can. So we save it on something like 128 kps or something. I don't know how all this works. Well, when I was recording, I noticed that I was recording at 44 or 48 mpg, and I thought, well, that don't seem right. Oh, nothing. I don't ever do any of this high or drunk, or, you know, that doesn't happen. Don't say, oh, he got drunk and lost the file. No, that's not what happened. Sometimes I write a little on the crazy side, but when it comes to performing, no, I can't do any of that. So, remember Thursday I told you, the show will be up for sure in just a couple hours because I've got to add the music. Well, I got the whole thing up there. But since I was saving it at a rate of 192 PSI instead of 44, every file came out as big as Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California combined. Every file got that big. I don't know how. I think every file in the thing came out around 4 gigs. And my radio computer's got a bunch of music on it. It's got every old show, you know, that kind of stuff. So I finally get the whole son of a bitch on the board, the whole giant everything, the whole show number 131 on the board. And I hit the save button. It says, nuh-uh. And I'm going, what? And it says, nuh-uh, you can't save nothing. And I'm like, well, WTF. And it says, you don't have any room. You want us to start deleting stuff? And it's like, well, no. So they said, well, this is a computer negotiating with me. You want to start erasing this? Well, yeah, you can erase that and that, but don't erase any of these over here. And so it did that. And then I hit save. Said, you still don't have enough room, dumbass. So I think, well, I'll burn some onto some CDs. You know, I'll just take some stuff and burn it onto a CD. But the files were so big, I could only fit one file per CD, and it takes, you know, 3, 4, 5 minutes to burn a CD, and I'm looking at, you know, a couple hours of just burn. The other thing, because I saved it the wrong bitrate, or whatever that's called, every time I tried to save it, or move it, or add something to it, or anything, it said, oh, this is going to take a while, you sure you want to do this? I was like, well, yeah, I need a radio show. And so it would take 10, 12 minutes instead of 2 or 3 for each file. So it turned into a big nightmare. So finally I think, well, I can't burn it all onto a CD, because if one bit fits on a CD, and it's, you know, Koresh knows how many times over I am. So I thought, well, tell you what, I'll erase the pieces that put together the big giant file. You know how you talk for a while and then you had a little whoop-de-doo, glad you're here. And then you had a file and it's a whoop-de-doo, glad you're here. I grabbed a bunch of those and erased them, knowing I had still the master file. And then said, no, you still don't have enough room. Oh, trust me, this is the short version. Bottom line, I thought I had this saved, and I thought I had that saved, and by the time I saved it, it was just all gone. There just wasn't nothing there. You don't know how pissed off that makes me. When I lose a day of working on the page, I mean, I hadn't done it in a while, thank Koresh, knock on wood. But in the old days, I'd know, and then I'd lose a file, and oh, and it would just crush me, because I work real hard on these. I know it doesn't look like it on that end, but with my brain, my little gerbil there is running all the time. And finally, I get a page done, and then I erase it, and it just breaks my heart. It's like Sophie's Choice, you know, losing one of your kids. But the radio is so much worse, because it takes so much time to do anything. And when I looked down and saw that the show was gone, or not all the show, but the first third or something, I thought, oh, no. And then I got to thinking, you know how they're always busting these guys for porn? Kitty porn and weirdo porn and animal porn and whatever porn. And they always say, when you think you've erased them on your hard drive, no, you have not erased it. No, it's still there. So I called the smartest man I know, Mark Perkel. I said, Mark, big trouble. He said, oh, what is it this time? Poor Mark. Every time he gets a call from me, it's a lot of, you know, he's, oh, Christ, not him again. So I told him I'd erase my radio show. I put it in the recycle bin. And see, I had to dump the recycle bin, too, because there's no use to. The computer's just like one bucket. It doesn't matter if you move it from level 2 to level 3. Your bucket's still full, and it couldn't save the giant Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California combined files. So I just, you know, I had to dump them in the recycle bin, and then I had to dump that to have a chance. And then when I realized what I'd done, I called Perkel, and I said, you know how that deal with the porn? And they say it's always there. He said, well, technically, theoretically, it might still be there, but you're looking at maybe a couple $1,000 worth of equipment, and, you know, I'm going, oh, shit. And so when I realized what I'd done, I did what any man would do. I got high and started drinking. So this is Thursday night. Oh, I was just in a real bad mood. Considering how bad a mood I was in last night, I'm in a pretty chippy, cheery mood today. But anyway, it pissed me off. And I don't remember. You know, the other thing, I can't manufacture the outrage. If I could just, I have all the notes from yesterday, not notes, but I got newspapers and I circle stuff and that. So you pick up a paper and you say, well, yeah, there's that story. But the way most of these deals work is, you know, I read a story and I kind of, you know, like I'll go to the store. While I'm driving the car, I'm thinking about, well, we could do this, could do that, mention this, don't mention that. Can't go there. You know, you kind of got to, you do your little pre-editing in your head. So then when I finally sit down, turn on the damn microphone, something comes out besides, duh. So I'm going to give you some hints of what you missed. Hell, some of it you might like, because I remember the first one I did a thing on the Golden Globe nominees where basically I ran through the list of actresses, and whoever I wanted to see naked most is who I wanted to win. Trust me, it's the formula that all men use. Yeah, that's gone forever. That's in limbo. It's in purgatory. That bit will never be heard by anybody. Then there was the one about the regulators. Blue Shield is a bunch of dirty crooks. They're an insurance company in California. They screwed 1,000 people. What they do, these poor people get sick. You know, you're paying Blue Shield all your life. Think, there's dozens of people in California. And they're all paying Blue Shield money, let's call it $100 a month, for the last 20, 30 years. So they paid in $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. Then they get sick. And they call Blue Shield. And they say, oh, I got me is the mad cow, and I need some treatment. And they say, oh, okay. And then they give you one treatment, and then they fire you. And that's just not fair. You know, your whole life you pay into these Republican sons of bitches. And then when you say, hello, claim time, they say they kick you in the teeth and tell you to GFY. Well, Blue Shield got caught doing that to over 1,000 people. So the Republicans in California stepped in, and they slapped them real hard with a $12 million fine. Now, this is Blue Shield in California stealing. They probably steal $12 million every day before lunch. And now they've been caught doing this to over 1,000 people. And that's who they got caught. You know, the whole deal with big business, you screw the customer. If someone yells, you say, oh, my bad, sorry. Oh, you're right. You're in the covered category. My bad, I'm sorry. I almost had a brain fart. I put you in the uncovered. Silly me, I'm so sorry. That's what they do. Sons of bitches. They screw everyone. Every time you call for a claim, they say, just like a coverage in New Orleans hurricane. No, that ain't covered. Noony. Ain't going to play that with you. And you're going to have it. You sons of bitches, I've been paying you 30 years on my house, and now the house is blown away, and you say, no, here's rule number 16A. That's why we're not going to pay you. Well, thanks. You know, that's what big business does. But as long as we got the government on their back making them pay a $12 million fine, that's $5 to me and you. What if I was in business? Well, I am, but, you know, what if me and you were in some business and we just stole money left and right? And about 1 out of 50 or 1 out of 100 times we get caught stealing money and they say, oh, my bad, and we give back $2. Yeah, that's how they make money. The sons of bitches, the Republican Party, they just need to be shut down. Have I told you how much I hate them people? Anyway, that big story shan't be heard. One more for you here. I don't understand the... Everybody likes Will Smith. Nobody hates Will Smith. But $72 million is what this new film made. Now, this new film is about... they said this movie had been done before. They did The Last Man on Earth in 1964. They did The Omega Man. That sounds like a Charlton Heston movie. In 1971. But it's a lot like Tom Hanks did that Overboard Survivor Castaway movie, whatever it's called. And for the first hour and a half, he talks to the coconut. Oh, you won't believe how much money I'll pay to see a bearded Tom Hanks talk to the coconut. Name your price. I'm there, dude. No, that's not how it works. I don't want to spend, well, with the old lady, I don't want to spend $15 to watch Tom Cruise talk to a damn coconut. Where's some dancing girls? Where's some car crashes? Where's some bribery, blackmail, some intrigue, some explosions? Give me something here. Give me Bruce Willis. Give me anything but... Anyway, apparently I'm the only one. Legend made $72 million, and this is without him being able to go on Johnny Carson, Jay Leno, etc., and push his movie on the TV shows because the strike is still going on. So some of you people would like to spend an hour and a half with a guy like Will Smith in a deserted New York City, walking around fighting the mad dogs. You know, I never have wanted to be stuck in an urban piece of crap full of wild dogs trying to escape. That don't sound like 2 hours of fun to me. No, I'd rather get on the Enterprise for 2 hours, or, go riding with Dirty Harry for 2 hours, or take a ride with Michael Corleone for 2 hours, or, you know, anything, but I don't get you people. But anyway, that rant won't be heard. Oh, and then I remember there was one other bit, and I can't recreate it because the paper's gone. Might have wrapped some CDs in it, some Barcup Radio CDs. I wrapped them up in the newspaper. I think maybe someone would get the big thrill out of seeing, ooh, there's the paper where Bart read the original story. Ooh. But there was a newspaper. You know, like I said before, I'm a busy man. I got shit to do. I don't have time to catch up on stuff. Well, Tuesday morning when I recorded the show, may it rest in peace, I noticed there was a paper from last Thursday big headline above the fold, and you know that's where you put the important news. That's where you put Clinton raped the prostitute, now he has a crack baby. That's where you put those important stories above the fold. But the story above the fold was a strike lingers on, and they told you how many TV shows you had left. And then, okay, so for a couple days, I saw, hey, there's that paper, and there's that story. And then when I sat on Tuesday to do the show, I opened the paper up fully and saw the big story below the fold. See, that's the bullshit. You don't need to know that. That's, you know, your job is to go on shopping. It's Bush's job to handle the important stuff. Well, the big story below the fold was that the suicide rate in the military is at an all-time high or whatever since World War II, something like that. 160 men died, whatever, so far this month, this year, something like that, from their own hand. And I thought, well, you sons of bitches, for three, 4 days, I had the writer's strike headline in my head because that's what the top story above the fold was, where the important anti-Clinton news goes. And then below the fold, there's the, we'll do all we can to protect George W. Bush because he's our godly leader, rightfully elected. And it just pissed me off that once again, you know, that Jennifer Love is fat thing. I've been on this kick lately about why the media does what they do. And for some reason, they wanted everybody to know about the writer's strike, but they didn't want anyone to know about the soldiers' suicides being at an all-time high. And that pissed me off, and that should piss you off too. I know that you know that you're getting fake news, but now and then I'm going to point out, you know, they could have put the dead soldier story above the fold, but that's not happy. Nobody wants to buy a newspaper about dead soldiers. But they'll not buy a newspaper all day about how many heroes are left, how many without a trace are left. Yeah, that's important news, so you have to know that. Sons of bitches, this is the world we live in. Just makes you want to smack somebody. Well, that looks all like all I got there. But anyway, that rant, oh, it was just my best work ever. And it just went down the drain because I clicked the wrong button, you know. You got to be, it's like everything, you got to be a radio engineer to have a radio show, and I ain't one of them. And so I lost that whole bit. There was parts of the show that survived. So let's hear some of that. All right, now we're going to have big fight. It's about guns. People want to keep talking about guns. I guess because I'm right and they can't accept that. Just kidding. Don't get mad. There's a bunch of shootings a week or two ago in December. One idiot went into the mall in Omaha. And see, there's now you people got to understand. And it's going to become, I hate it when I get into a little groove here, but you know, these people, they want a pony. And I know you don't want to hear simplistic language like that, but that's what we have. There's a sign apparently on this mall that says no guns allowed at this Omaha mall where the guy went crazy. So if you're walking up to the front door and you say, oh, the sign says no guns allowed, so you go put your gun in the car. I mean, I realize you, the listener, don't carry a gun, but a lot of Americans do. So you get ready to go to the mall, get to the front door, you see the sign, as a law-abiding citizen, you go put your gun in the car. Then you get inside, and there's some hand job shooting up the place. And your gun's in the car. Perfect. Exactly. You know, all this started with that Luby's restaurant in Texas. Some idiot, whatever, his wife told him go to hell, so he drove his car through the plate glass window at a Luby's restaurant and just started shooting people. And he, I think, killed a bunch, 28 or 30, something like that. And one of the people, I think they killed this woman's parents. This woman had a gun permit and a gun in her purse. And she saw the sign, no gun. So she went and put it in the car. And then she had to stand there unarmed and watch this guy mow down her parents. That's how a lot of this carry permit stuff got rolling. I think a couple of years later, then Florida got into it and it just gains momentum. But you know, the part where I get about the pony, and I don't mean to pick on Rachel Maddow, cause I agree with her on 95% of the things. And it may not even really be her fault. The idiots at XM Radio, they pick out these certain little things. They make it sound like that's all Rachel Maddow talks about is guns. And the reason I bring it up is because I listen to a lot of XM radio. And if you listen for 30 minutes, you're going to hear Rachel Maddow explain to you how 22 times more likely you're going to kill yourself or a family member than shoot the bad guy, which I don't know what kind of friend she's got with guns, but none of my friends that, well, no, wait, Jimmy, the crazy boy in California, he said his grandfather shot his dad or the other way around because they were horsing around with guns. Well, you don't do that. Sorry, Jimmy. But anyway, it would seem that Rachel Maddow wants a, a pony. She says in her little commercial there, which again, XM is slanting this. When they slant on Randy, they have her saying, well, when Marilyn Monroe said diamonds are a girl's best friend, nobody said, what a terrible thing, because she said you can screw your way into some fine jewelry. And I don't get the argument there. Apparently that was part of some other argument. And XM just like cut out 30 seconds of it to put on there. Like if you tune into Randy Rhoads, that's all you're going to hear about how to screw your way into some jewelry. I mean, they're stupid. Every year they can't come up with a new clip. Please. Okay, so this deal with Rachel Maddow, she makes the point that something like other countries can't believe the kind of insanity that goes on in America. They don't believe the gun laws. They can't believe the gun violence. Well, that's true. But the pony has left the building. You know, we've got 200 million guns in this country, and people aren't going to give them up. So to stand around and say, what about the guns? We need to get rid of the guns, ain't going to happen. Just like you can't have a pony if you live in a refrigerator box on the street. You can't have a pony in your refrigerator. You just can't. And so to sit there and whine about, why can't I have a pony? Shut up before I backhand you, because we can't have a pony in the refrigerator box where we live. It would make a whole lot more sense. It'd be a whole lot easier to argue the issues if people didn't say, well, what if poor people could run for president? Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. 10,000 people run for president. Perfect. Wonder what that debate's going to sound like. So the gun issue is the gun issue. The situation we have is the situation we have. We are living in 2007 with 200 million guns, and you can say, wouldn't it be great if we could all go back in time and make all the guns disappear? Yeah, I wish I could fly, and I wish I had a 14-inch pianist, but that's not going to happen. So I don't look at what I can't fix. You know, why don't you look at what you can fix? So, okay, closing up this dial. U.S. Whore Today, they said, oh, how terrible that people carry guns. They want a pony. They're saying, wouldn't it be great if reality wasn't what it was and things were all different? Well, yeah, we all agree. Yeah, we all wish we were born Kennedys. We all wish we were look like Clooney and Jolie. I mean, everybody has wishes, but then we got the facts to talk about. So here comes this idiot, Wayne LaPierre, who I don't like, who I think is a crazy man. His idea of gun safety is given seriously a 30-day-old baby a gun. Seriously, not lying, not kidding to make a point. That's what they do, these nuts. They buy their infants guns that they can shoot when they get to be 5 or 6 years old. A little on the crazy side. But his point is this. He's saying, okay, I mentioned two shootings. There was one in Omaha where no one did anything, I think. It's so hard to keep up. But apparently this guy shot and shot and shot. I think eventually a mall security guard, somebody showed up and shot him. But now in Colorado, this is the same church where Ted Haggard was blowing guys for meth. This is just, you religious people, you're just crazy, you know that? Anyway, at this Colorado church, they had something like a former cop or an off-duty cop volunteered to help with security around the church, and so she had a gun in her hand. So you can argue, well, she was sort of a cop. Sort of, you can argue that. So she's standing there. This hand job pulls out a gun and starts firing. She's thinking, hey, this is why I have a gun in my hand, in case the unusual, you know, people say, oh, Bart, why do you need a gun? How often do you get held up? Well, how often does a guy walk into a Colorado church and shoot up the place? It only has to happen once or twice, and it changes your life. So this lady drops the bad guy, and Wayne LaPierre's point is, if you take away all the guns from the law-abiding people, you know, the old cliche, then only the criminals will have the guns. Here's what he says. Now, this is his to him talking. Here's a chance for you to Google or find out if he's lying. Our analysis of FBI crime data shows that in 2006, compared with the rest of the country, states with right to carry had overall average violent crime rates 26% lower. Now, see, I'm always saying this, like when it comes to Vegas. If having legal prostitution means fewer rapes, fewer spousal abuse, less venereal disease, et cetera, then we should legalize prostitution across the country. But no, we can't, because God would be angry. This is crazy. So on this LaPierre thing, if states with carry permit laws actually have less crime, now I think we need to look at it, don't we, as logical, scientific people? How are you going to look at 26% less crime and say, I don't care? How do you do that? It doesn't make any sense. If his facts are correct, if he's telling the truth, if crime goes, violent crime now, we're not talking about whatever, purse snatching and writing bad checks. Violent crime, shootings and rapes and stuff. If that goes down 26% in the gun-carrying states, don't you kind of have to take a look at that I mean, at least take a look at it. I know you gun haters. No, never. Not ever once. I don't care. You can kill my whole family. I'll never touch a gun. Well, that's the craziness in you talking. That's the liberal craziness. You know, both sides got some crazy. That's why some of us are in the middle. But if you'd rather see your family die than own a gun, then you and I aren't communicating. We're not on the same wavelength, because I would rather shoot the bad guy in the head and say, ha-ha, and let the police come drag his carcass off to some dump than have him kill my wife, my kids, which I ain't got any, but you know what I'm saying. In closing here, Wayne LaPierre says, it's a myth that more permit holders mean more accidents. In fact, firearm accidents are among the lowest rates on record. Don't know if that's true. It's time to come clean. Would USA Today prefer that Jean Assam, that's the lady who dropped the shooter in Colorado, had left her gun at home on Sunday? Now, how are you going to argue with that? Would USA Today support repealing Colorado's right to carry law? USA Today should give an accounting for its years of opposition to right to carry, or concede that it indeed saves lives. So, if, now that's the big giant on the page, I put it in red and make it big and bold and everything, if he's telling the truth that states with gun carry laws have less violent crime, does that mean you should take a second look at it?
Hey, Jackie.
Yeah.
Giuliani's in trouble.
Yeah, I know, in the polls.
Yes, but also, he's in trouble because they keep dragging up these old stories, trying to create a scandal about him and his mistress.
Man, I don't want to hear about Giuliani and his mistress.
I know, nobody does. And that's the one good thing the Giuliani camp's got going for him, is when people hear the words Giuliani and mistress in the same sentence, they immediately start picturing Giuliani doing it to her, and they get grossed out and tune away. So maybe this story won't get no traction, and we can forget about the past. And start worrying about the future of this country.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But here's what he did. When he was mayor in New York City, and he was doing it with his now wife, then mistress, Judith Nathan, and they'd go meet up at their secret rendezvous doing it spots, he'd have police security detail following him there, you know, and guard him while he was doing it to her. And then they'd go back, and he'd try to hide it in the budget so nobody'd find out. Well, and then it comes out that sometimes his now wife, then mistress, Judith Nathan, would get security details when she wasn't even with him, when she was just going out shopping, you know, for condoms and lube or whatever. Then it comes out that sometimes his now wife, then mistress, Judith Nathan's friends and family got security detail when they were just out and about, you know, going to sex parties or whatever.
Hey, it don't matter what they're going out doing. I don't want to hear about that stuff. But what the hell is his then mistress, now wife, Judith Nathan, and her friends and family need security for?
Well, everybody in New York City needs security, Jackie.
Well,
I would love nothing more than to go to New York City and catch a matinee of the Drowsy Chaperone. But without a security detail, I am scared to death.
You wouldn't catch me going up there. Hell no. No, sir.
And I tell you this much, Jackie. If you are the right man for the job, the job being president, I don't care if you got a little side coochie. I mean, if you're the right man for the job.
Yeah, well, what, you saying Giuliani's the right man for the job?
No, not at all. They need to go after him. But I'm saying if you're the right man for the job, you know, you probably deserve a little R&R.
Yeah, they're just going after old Giuliani, just make it like a big sex scandal, like they did old Clinton.
Yeah, trying to make everybody think Giuliani's just like the Clintons. And I tell you this, Clinton was not the right man for the job.
Hell no.
And they nailed him.
Yeah, I got him good. That's right. Yes, sir. I tell you what, though, I will say this about Giuliani. At least he made his then mistress, now wife, J. Judith Nathan, an honest woman. I mean, they married her, yeah.
Can you imagine if Clinton had married Monica Lewinsky?
Oh, hell.
Yeah, we might have Monica Lewinsky running for president.
Well, it wouldn't be no worse than what we got now, hell.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have just waxed the dance floor. There will be no dancing allowed this evening. No matter what you do, please keep your fat asses off the dance floor.
Okay, this next bit is not the most important thing you'll ever hear from me. But it's just, I'm curious. I'm hoping for some input from you, the listener. Maybe you can tell me what the hell is going on with Guitar Hero and Rock Band. These are two toys. Well, I guess they're video games. And what you do, I guess everybody knows but me. I'm the last one. You get your video game situation there. You plug it in your TV. And then you pick up this guitar. And the one I saw at the store had like 5-6 buttons on it. You don't have to play guitar, but they have... On the fretboard, they have like 5 or 6 little square buttons. The whole point is you play guitar on TV. So they put on a song maybe you've heard of. And I guess as you prance around in your room, and I guess you hit different buttons on the neck. And on the TV, the guitar player's hand goes to different chords. And voila, you're a guitar player. You know, if you're 8 or 10 years old, I get that. I mean... When I was a little kid, little 6, 7, 8, 10-year-old Bart, I used to put a towel around my neck, and I'd be Superman. And I'd go whoosh, and I'd jump off the porch and stuff, and I was Superman. And it's like, well, okay, but I'm 54. I don't do that a whole lot now. Because the whole I'm Superman thing has kind of wore off as the decades roll by, you know? And, did you know... What's real cool, you can buy a special drum thingy, and you can buy, I don't know, maybe a keyboard thingy, and you can have your buddies some work over, and the four of you can stand there and act like complete idiots in front of the TV, and I don't know, if I was them, I'd have a little button where you could record it, and then, I don't know, you send it to your grandparents or your grandchildren, and say, hey, look, Grandpa's playing guitar with his air band. I mean, I don't get it. And it's one of the hottest toys. Apparently, it's the hot toy. There's two of them. One's Guitar Hero, one's Rock Band. I guess one's for one system and one's for the other. It says here, Guitar Hero 3 has sold $300 million worth and could generate $600 million by the year. $600 million? How many of you people, seriously now, if I sold Superman capes, would I do $600 million worth of business? That's $0.6 billion. For people to pretend they're in a band, I don't get it. I saw some kids at the store doing, you know, like at the Best Buy. Oh, and as I checked out, two kids in front of me, or two, they were like the mothers. They were buying these giant, you know, it's the size of a regular guitar, so it's a big old luggety thing you got to get through the line. But there was two of them just in line, and I don't understand if there was some thing, you know, if maybe a groupie blew you after you were done. Now you're talking. Now you got something to catch my interest. Of course, I'm kidding. But for a grown man or even, you know, let's put it this way. By the time you can put the keys in a car and go somewhere, hasn't your lust for pretending that you're a guitar player on TV, isn't that about done? Shouldn't the sex drive replace the look at me, Ma, I play guitar? It's like Bush in New Orleans. Look at me, Pickles, I play guitar. And I don't know if that floats your boat. Hey, I'm one of these libertarian types that when it comes to whatever you want to do, as long as it doesn't include children, rattlesnakes, or, you know, the retarded, hey, go ahead and do what you want. But it just strikes me as a little funny that so many people are going to pick up I don't even know what they cost. Looks like it's $50 for something, maybe the program, and another $50 for the controller, which I guess is the guitar, and then you got to get a $50 drum controller and something else, and so all your buddies can come. You're the guys from the office. Hey, come on over to Bart's house. We're Guitar Heroing this weekend. It's like, oh God, I got to help my friend move to the 7th floor up the steps. I can't make it, Bart. But anyway, I don't understand. If you're into this game, please write and explain it to me. Okay, from right there we go. Right from the serious, from the bullshit to the serious. Not going to get into all this, but here's a headline. Letter to the editor, U.S. Whore Today, December 13th, still on Thursday. Young homeowners lack advice. Ready? Young home buyers lack advice and wisdom. Beyond the greed and naivete of buyers willing to skim mortgage fine print, objection. Flag. You know, You might think it's humorous, you might not, but when we watch the Cowboys on TV, I have a little yellow flag that I have in my pocket, and every time them bastards cheat, I throw that flag, and rarely do the guys on TV throw it. But I'm telling you, if you watch that last Cowboy game, one of the first things, I forget his name, but one of the good guys, whatever team they were playing, he catches a ball, and boom, the Cowboy hit him helmet to helmet right away, and he drops the ball. So, hey, good play. Even though it's illegal to pop the guy with your helmet, they didn't call it. A couple of plays later, big, giant face mask. Cowboys grab the guy, pull him down by the face mask. No, 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 they didn't bother to call that. But then a couple of minutes later, when the good guys had the ball, the center looks between his legs, tried to get an idea where the quarterback is, and when he looks back up, his butt went down a little bit, and they called him for a procedure. I'm saying, oh, no, no, it's just cheating, cheating, cheating. How do those Cowboys live with themselves? I guess they're in Texas. You know how the cheaters live in Texas. Back to the homebuyers here. Talk about the mortgage fine print, and that's when I throw the flag. You can't read all of the bullshit. We bought a house in 2005. There are hundreds and hundreds of documents, well, or at least pages of documents, and you have to be, if you're a real estate attorney, you might understand what all those documents and stuff are. But basically, you're trusting the guy that sold you the house. That's all you can do. And again, if you're an attorney, if you got nothing to do, if you got just time on your hands out the ass, then yeah, you might sit there and go through all these documents. But you're going to say, hey, what is this here? And you're going to say, oh, don't worry about that. That never happens. Well, what about this here? Oh, don't worry about that. That never comes up. And you think, well, all right, what the hell? You know, I can't go through college again and get a degree and learn so I'm just going to sign it. Same way with everything. I think it's one of Bart's laws. You know, like to buy insurance, you have to be an insurance agent. To hire a plumber, you have to have a degree in plumbing. To hire an electrician, everything's gotten so deep and so complicated now. God forbid you take a car in to get it worked on. If you're not a mechanic personally, you know, if you know what to do, you just don't want to get your fingers tore up and greasy and that, you might have a chance. But if you know, these poor women that take a car into the shop and say it's making a funny noise and it won't go up hills, they say, oh, you need $1,200 worth of work. And they say, damn, can I give you half now and half when I pick up the car? But meanwhile, the guy turns a spark plug or whatever they do. You know, he gives their new distributor $35 and charges her $1,200. That's how it works across the board. So I don't see why blaming the young home buyers for this mess. It's not their fault. It's the greedy sons of bitches, the super rich. That's who's at fault here. People talk about, oh, the big, whatever, the mortgage meltdown. This is all the super rich got super greedy, and they got out just before the crash. That's how it works. It's always a pyramid scheme. The super rich always get there first. That's how they got to be super rich. And they look out for each other, and then when it's about to crash, they say, hey, Bob, want to buy this? He said, well, sure, I'll give you 10% off. And then you buy the big wreck that crashes. I don't think it's a very good idea to blame the home buyer, except now if you're a home buyer, you know, if you're bringing home $1,000 a month and they sell you a $300,000 house, and when you go to pick it up, they say, if you want, you can have two for the same price, nothing down. And look how low the payment is. And as time goes by, yuck, yuck, yuck. Now, if you get greedy, maybe. But I'm talking about a young couple, maybe a kid or two, go to buy a house and you got screwed on the deal. And again, you got to trust the real estate agent because that's what they do for a living. 40, 50 hours, 60 hours a week. They concentrate on this stuff. They know what they're doing as the years go by. And then they tell you, the first guy that sold us our first home, second home, he screwed us real bad too. At closing, he tells us, the only way I can get you qualified is on this plan here. And it was in negative territory for like 3-4 years. Every time I made a payment, I owed more money, the sons of bitches. But what am I going to do? He tells me the day of closing. Oh, he calls the day of closing and says, bring an extra $2,500 with you. Oh, okay. Yeah, I got that in this pocket. I'll just go to my other pants and get the $2,500 that I keep there. He swear to God he did that. I'm trying to think. I think Mrs. Bart's family loaned us the $2,500 to get through, but they tell us the morning of closing. This is how they do. I'm sure there's honest real estate agents, but the ones making all the money are the crooked sons of bitches. And what they did to a whole lot of these, say the going rate is 7%. And they tell the guy, well, you know, and you qualify for 7%. No, no problem there. But they say, well, you know, you had that one-time member 4 years ago when you were late paying Sears, that one-time member, you were $10 behind. Well, they don't look real kind on that, so I can't get you qualified at 7%, but I can't get you qualified 8.5%, and it's just, you know, it's a few dollars, but look how nice the house is. You're going to love this house. The years go by, that couple of dollars is not going to be, you know, okay. So you sign the papers. Meanwhile, what they've done, they've taken, your mortgage application, and they take it to the guy with the 7% and said, ha ha, I got these poor suckers for 8.5%. And they say, well, here you go. Here's $10,000 cash. Here you go. $10,000 because you screwed the guy. The poor little young couple didn't know what they were doing. For screwing them, we're giving you $10,000 cash. You think, damn, so I can screw 10 people and have $100,000? If I screw 100 people, I've got $1 million? I think I'll screw 100 people, and I'll make myself $1 million, and then I'll go buy me one of them houses. See, that's how it works. Don't yell at the little home buyer. They got shit to do. They got kids. They got jobs. They got, hell, if you're a professional, if you're a doctor or lawyer or something, you might have school bills still to pay. You don't have time to get into real estate law and figure out what they're doing to you, and because the real estate agent's lying to you, you're getting screwed, and you don't know it. Until, you know, a couple, well, yeah, they sign you one of these, oh, I can get you fixed up with the adjustable rate mortgage, no problem. That's the only way we could get you qualified. Now, your wife, your poor little cute wife there, she's standing there crying. You can either let her cry or you can sign this paper and move into your big, beautiful house. So what are you going to do? You know, you're going to, hell, your wife's probably pregnant. Now she's bawling tears and tears. Oh, my God, everything's going bad. Okay, 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 sign the papers. Okay, okay. So then you you screw yourself. The agent gets $10,000 at the time, but here you are paying like $60,000, $70,000 over the extra, over the 30 years that you got the loan for. And the bank's okay. They got the collateral. You know, the house is collateral. This is in normal times. It's just a giant scheming bullshit pyramid hand job. And the super rich doing it. And now they're talking about, oh, let's get the government involved. Yeah, let's get Bush to I saw this morning's news. They're saying, let's, the feds, which means Bush, they're going to rewrite the mortgage laws. Well, there you go. You just gave the BFEE. They're getting 5% of every house bought by every person in America. What's wrong with us? We just keep taking this. Everybody that picks up a damn newspaper ought to be just as mad as I am when you read these headlines and it says, Blue Shield screwed $1 billion out of, so we're going to fine them $12 million. And, yeah, the mortgage crash, you know, the prime lending, whatever that. Oh, yeah, now we're going to tighten up on the poor little, you know, now the guy, that young couple that legitimately can afford a house, now they can't because the banks have tightened up. Oh, our losses are so big, what are we going to do? They're rolling in billions. They can't get hurt. And they're passing all the screwing down to the other guy. Just like a damn gas station. If the gas goes up 50 cents, boy, by the time that TS period sound on 50 cents clears the room, all those prices have changed. But when the price drops 50 cents, I'll get to that in a couple of weeks. That's how it works. They just screw you, and they screw you, and they keep screwing you. And if you don't get mad when you read these headlines, you're just not paying attention. You're willing to let them do this to you. If you're willing to let Bush steal $20 out of your pocket every time you fill up. You know, when the fill up is $45 an hour, it used to be $25. That's $20 that the Bush family is stealing from you every goddamn week, every goddamn car. Most people have two cars if you're married, maybe three if you got a kid. So $60 a week. You're forced to give to the BFEE or you give up your car. Are you willing to take it? You willing to just lay there and say, do it to me again, George? Or do you want to get mad and fight back? I say we fight back those sons of bitches.
He's been broadcasting for the left longer than Air America has been around. It's Bart Cop Radio.
It's always fair weather when good listeners get together.
I like working for white people because they take excuses. I don't feel good today. Stay home, stay home. When you work for a nigga, ain't excuse good enough. My father died. Mine did too, nigga. What time are you coming in? I let you go to the funeral. I need you this Thursday. He didn't love your ass anyway. Why are you going to the funeral? Best job I ever had was working in the cleaners. That was a good-ass job. I cried like a bitch when they fired me. They fired me for wearing other people's shit. I be at the club, women like Earthquake always got something new on. I never see that nigga wearing the same outfit. Sometimes he changed clothes at the club. My boy like, let me wear that shirt. I say, I would, dog, but he come to pick it up tomorrow. Got to keep it. I'm going to tell you who you don't want to work with. Mexicans. They make a nigga look bad at the job. They don't take no breaks or nothing. They work 8 hours straight. Skip lunch and everything. I fucked around and worked with some Mexicans putting roofs up. They can put a roof up in 30 minutes. I had to get on the ladder. Take a break, nigga. We got 8 hours. What you rushing for? They just gonna give us another roof. They let my black ass go. Got another Mexican. I just got married. You gotta get married. Marriage is rough, but take your time. Yeah, marriage is like having cable with just one channel. Same shit come on every day. Like, damn, bitch, I love you, but I want to see another movie. You got to hang around other married people, too. I hang around my boy. He been married for 6 years. The nigga videotaped his wedding day, never watched it. Now and every day, he watch it every day, but he watch it in reverse. Because he say he loves seeing himself take that ring back off of that bitch finger. Walking back down that aisle, just waving at her ugly ass mother down the church. Getting back in the limo, back at the bachelor party. Look how happy I was. I ain't smile like this since I married that bitch. I wasn't going to get married because I got scared. I wasn't scared of the commitment, but if you're a true man, you got to take the temperature and see what's going on in the world. And I got scared because of Michael Jordan. That's my dog. And when I found out he was having problems with his bitch, I said, a brother with $400 million can't keep a bitch. A brother with $100 ain't got a shot. What do these bitches really want from a nigga? Somebody let me know. I mean, how you get mad at a nigga with $400 million? You supposed to be the happiest bitch in the whole state. You supposed to come home every day just smiling like the Joker. But somebody must have talked to her ass because she took her ass back home. I mean, some women must have got in her ear like, bitch, you tripping. You must not have been out here lately. The pickings are slim. You lucky if a brother buy your ass a drink. You better take your ass back on that hill. Personally, I think she went out and tested the market and found what true players know. Ain't nobody fucking with her after she been with Michael Jordan. I mean, where you gonna take a woman that had $400 million at her disposal? How you gonna impress that bitch? You gonna have to take her to the moon or somewhere. You go over that big ass house, you like, well, I can help with the electric in this motherfucker. I make $300. Just use it where you can. And then she got two kids. How you gonna discipline them? You their stepfather now. They ain't gonna listen to your ass. Y'all need to come in the house. Fuck you, nigga. This all our daddy shit. And how you gonna say you better than their father? You wearing this nigga tennis shoes?
Headline, study unwraps hormone generosity connection. Now, there's a drug in your brain, and it looks like what the pig boy takes every day. It looks like Oxycontin, but it's O-X-Y-T-O-C-I-N. Oxytocin, maybe. Oxytocin gives us a rare, no wait, gives us a feeling of caring. The spirit of giving may be a hormone, ready? The spirit of giving may be the hormone of giving, according to a research. Fuck. I can't talk. I can't speak. So how do I make a living doing radio? A study by Paul Zak, a neurologist. No, that ain't right either, but I'm tired of going back. In California, links the trait of generosity with oxytocin, a hormone released by the brain. What they did, they grabbed a bunch of people, and they gave them some money. And when they gave them placebos, they gave out $2 tips. And then the next time, they gave half of them placebos and half of them this oxytocin. And instead of $2 tips, they give out almost $5 tips. Now, here's the part I don't get. Piss me off. You know, I've got that good Catholic training. I went to Catholic school every day. I learned everything they taught me, et cetera, et cetera. Here's what it says. In the first test, now if you got a pencil and paper, that would be good. It's just one paragraph. In the first test, both people who were given oxytocin and those who were not gave about the same amount, $2 on average. But in the second test, the group that received the oxytocin gave out $4.86, about 80% more on average than the placebo group. Now, damn it, my good math, if you got $2 and you go to $4.86, that's at least 100% jump. You got $2, $2 is your factor X. X equals 100. So X equals 100 equals $2. So if you go from 2 to 4, you go from 2x plus, so that's at least 200 plus. But no, they just changed the rules. When you go from $2 to $4.86, almost $5, that should be a 150% increase. But no, they're saying it's a 80% more. Now, how does that work? I smell a bush here again. You know, it's the old, oh, we promised you 80% return. And then they give you X. You go, well, no way. That don't matter. That don't add up. That don't count. What are you talking about? If you go from $2, we'll call it $5 for those of you who don't do a lot of math. As you know, I have a math degree. I have a doctorate in math. Did you know? But if you go from $2 to $5, how is that an 80% increase? Someone explain that to me. That's bullshit. It doesn't work that way. You go from $2 to $5, the original $2 is 100%, the second $2 is 100%, so it's an increase of like 240%, but they say it's an increase of 80%. They can blow me with their bad math. I don't accept your math. I reject your math. You got bad math. Now get out of here. All right, here, going to do one more little tiny frivolous, and then we're going to get into some hardcore politics. I know we're going to run out of time today because I got some stuff left from last week. Oh, I hope it'll have to be a double issue. Wouldn't it be something? The Golden Globe nominees are out. And you know we got a big problem now because the Golden Globe nominees, hello, the Golden Globes are sometime. They're going to be, they're like 3 weeks away, and they still got a strike going on, and they haven't decided if they're going to allow the performers to attend. Now, you know, I'm all for the unions, but don't tell me, if I'm going to win an award, don't tell me I can't go to the award ceremony, please. Just get away from me. But anyway, I assume they'll go on. It would be kind of dumb to say, and the winner is so-and-so, and he's not here tonight like every other damn person on our list. But thanks for watching, and stay tuned, because we'll tell you who the other no-shows are when we come back from this commercial. See, that doesn't work. They need to do something. I don't know. And another thing, I am on the writer's side for this deal, and I put a little blurb on the page a few days ago. One of the writers, I think he was a writer, wrote to me and said, would you do for this? I said, yeah, okay. But they need to do better. You know, I watch more TV than you do, trust me. If you're a professional television critic, you might watch more than I do because I don't watch all those stupid shows. I just watch the really good ones. But I miss my TV. I wish it was back. It's not like the war. You know, it's not that important. It's just that, hey, if assuming there wasn't a war, yeah, go ahead and give me my TV. But they need to do a better job. People aren't rattled yet. No one cares. You know, right around now, the shows are starting to run out. You know, today's a Tuesday. The house is a rerun. They got no choice. They got to do a rerun because they got nothing. Same for, we watch Bones, we watch House, we watch Denny Crane. Tonight's all reruns, and that's what we're going to get from now on. I saw my own damn self with my own damn eyes. They asked the head of General Electric, who owns NBC, they said, well, tell us about the writer strike, and he said, get ready for 5 hours a week of Deal or No Deal. They're just threatening us. They're just daring us to, you know, don't watch TV anymore. Go to hell. We don't care. We don't have to. We're NBC. If you don't like it, go buy you an internet. Yeah, I think I will. Sons of bitches. So they need to get the stupid strike over with. They're stealing money from the writers, and they, you know, everybody knows they can't do that, so they need to knock it off. Okay, now here we got the Golden Globe nominees. The movies, I haven't seen any of the movies. You wouldn't catch me dead in a musical comedy. The best actress is all the same people, your Kate Blanchett's and all those, you know, people that nobody likes. Yeah, 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 this and this, actor in a musical comedy, supporting actress, supporting actor. You know, aren't we a little tired of the movies being, you know, it's always these Queen Elizabeth stuff and this Jane Eyre and this, you know, the Little Women. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be an Neanderthal from Oklahoma, but can we just have a couple of car crashes and, you know, some nudity and some shootouts? I mean, you got to give me something. If some woman's got a problem in 1850s Germany, well, deal with it. Keep me out. I'm busy. I got shit to do. Okay, so the Golden Globes are giving out awards for movies and television. Now, I watched some television, so I have some opinions there. Let's see what they got. Television drama series, Big Love, Damages, Grey's Anatomy, House, Mad Men, or The Tudors? I don't know if Mad Men and The Tudors should count because they're on those little funny networks. So among those here, Damages could have been a good show, but everybody thinks they're Tarantino these days. Everybody does, and unless you're Tarantino, you need to leave it alone. You know, it's like you know, your doctor stitched you up and put a patch over your problem. That's not an invitation for you to get into it and pick on it and play with it and mess with it. No, that's for the doctor. Now, see, the same thing with movies. If you're Tarantino, you can do these time-switching deals. But if you're not, stay away from it. There was a show on probably last year, I think it was called The Eight or something, about these eight people walked into a bank. And 10 minutes into the premiere of the movie, The show's over. They carry out the dead guys, and they're all standing around going, damn, wasn't that something? And then the whole rest of the season, they tell you what happened. Well, no, that doesn't work. You notice that show, they had to yank it because nobody gave a fuck. And how could they? And it's the same way with this damages. You know, something happens to the girl. And then they tell you how what happened to her in high school. And then something happens to the girl. And here's what happened in college. And then something happens to the girl. And here's what happened to her in law school. Hey, we don't care. Show us a damn movie. Start at the beginning. Do the beginning, the middle, and the end. When you do all this hop-around shit, we don't care. I'm sitting there 5 times an hour. Mrs. Bart, if you understand anything, would you get me a clue? And she says, I don't understand a damn thing. And so, you know, we're lost. We quit watching a thing. Glenn Close is a great actress. She might and probably will win this drama actress, whatever it is. But I can't watch the show. The hopping around. No, you lose me. I think you lose most of America. I think they got bad numbers, but I hear it's coming back. Isn't it always that way? So best drama series, I go with House. It's a drama that consistently makes me laugh out loud. It's hard to do. I'll laugh out loud 10 times watching a typical House. And it's a drama. That just kills me. Sopranos did the same thing. Rescue Me did the same thing. You got really, really serious drama going on. But then shit happens. It's just, my God, that's funny. You have to laugh. So I vote House, best drama series of those nominated. Musical comedy series. Oh, yeah. Like, comedy is such a tiny niche. Let's go ahead and throw it in with the musicals. Yeah, because, you know, all those musicals that are on TV these days. Are they thinking that, like, the Rockettes are still drawing big crowds on the television or something? Musical comedy, I'd say it's between Entourage or 30 Rock. I probably have to go with 30 Rock. 30 Rock is amazing. You get your a timer out. When you watch 30 Rock, they'll do a good joke every 20 or 30 seconds. You don't get that on any other show, any other comedy. Again and again and again. And they don't have a laugh track. So that's probably why it's in ratings trouble. People are so stupid. They won't laugh unless someone else next to them laugh. Isn't that crazy? That's not funny. Oh, he's laughing. Ha ha, that is funny. I'll be damned. I didn't think it was funny, but it must be if that guy laughed. They don't have a laugh track. Spectacular writing. Nobody's as good as Alec Baldwin. Who else can do drama and comedy that well? Tina Fey's real good. Tracy Morgan, off the charts. Hysterical. Everything he says is great. Actress drama series, as previously stated, I think we're going to have to go with... I'd like for Kyra Sedgwick to win. That Closer we've been watching. Saw the second season. Liked it. I like the way she does that. Actress for musical comedy, Yuck Yuck Yuck. I give it to Tina Fey. Actor drama series, Michael Hall. Got to go with Hugh Laurie, the house guy. Actor musical comedy, Ricky Gervais, go away. Go over to England and be funny over there. Don't come over here and try to make us laugh with your funny English humors. Like I always say, people from England play guitar. People from the United States are funny. It doesn't work the other way. British comedians blow donkey all the time, except for the fellow that cross-dresses. What's his name? Eddie Izzard? Fantastic. Fantastic. I'll sit there and listen to him do American history all day. I'll pay him $10 an hour to have him talk American history to me. He's a genius. He's the only guy in England that's funny. And there's Del Castillo's probably the only American that can play guitar. So it kind of works out that way. Okay, moving on. Miniseries or movie? Didn't watch any of them. Actress miniseries or movie? Let's see, who I'd like to see naked. I guess of the people nominated, I'd go with Deborah Messing. Actor miniseries or movie? Didn't see any of them, but Ernest Borgnine got nominated. Damn, when you're 90 years old and you get nominated, let's let Ernie have it. Supporting actress, let's see who I'd like to see naked. Rose Byrne, she's good looking on that Damages. Katherine Heigl, there's your supermodel right there. Yeah, we'll go with Katherine Heigl because I'd like to see her naked. Supporting actor, Ted Danson, Damages, he was good. All these years you've been watching him on Cheers, and when he does evil real good. Very, very cold. He called a guy and said, I need you to take care of that problem. And he said, you mean take care of the problem? And he just froze. He looked into the camera and real quietly said, yes. Oh, it was just cold. I got shivers just thinking about it, but he was cold. I always think that's real cool when a comedian does a serious turn because it's always double effective. And you'd have to throw in a potential for William Shatner. Is there anybody on TV that's more outrageous than William Shatner? And how about him? He's like 75. You know, Captain Kirk got more tail, I guess, than more otherworldly tail than anyone, I guess, in our entire culture history, right? Can you think of anybody who went from planet to planet screwing women like Shatner did? Not sure that gets you a Golden Globe Award, but it ought to count for something. Okay, just to prove it's not all frivolous, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the debate. This will be the GOP fascist dog debate. Must have been in Iowa. Where else would they be? I promised my good friend Grimm, he's the Republican that posts on the Bart blog. So he's the only one. We only have one. But he's the Republican we allow to post there. And he wanted to talk about the fair tax. And the fair tax, blow me. Not to my good friend Grimm. I'm saying the name. Blow me. The idea that if, oh, we just want to be fair. Yeah, that's why we're going to, that's why the Bush family is going to redo the tax code to make it fair for me and you and the little people. Exactly. Here's what it says. Mike Huckabee said, a single rate fair, in quotes, tax would mean rich people aren't going to be made poor, but maybe the poor people could be made rich. Blow me. It's the same thing. If you want to make more money, give the super rich a tax break. And they might let you wash their rolls and throw you a quarter for it. So if you want to make more money, let the rich man get a free Rolls Royce and you might get to wash it for him. That's bullshit. It's always been bullshit. But the idiot Democrats, they can't explain the obvious to the stupid people. What's wrong with the Democrats? The whole point about a fair tax is after you've bought your billion-dollar mansion, after you've bought your fleet of Rolls Royces or BMWs or Lexuses or whatever rich people buy, after you buy all your yachts, after you buy everything you've ever, you know, when you got that kind of money, you don't need to buy a car every couple of years like poor people do, because when a poor person breaks a car, you got a $400 car, you blow a transmission, you're not going to put $2,000 in a $400 car. So you got to go buy another car. No, the super rich, they buy a quality machine that lasts forever. That's the whole point. The super rich, they want to pay taxes only on food. That's the only thing they want to pay taxes on. Well, you know, like food and Coca-Cola and just, you know, whatever they're consuming. But the super rich, they already have everything. They don't need anything. So that means they're not going to be paying any more taxes. You got a billionaire that's going to be paying maybe $1,000 a year in taxes. But hey, if you're the little guy, you're going to be paying a shitload more than $1,000 a year taxes, because the poor guy, he's got to buy a washer dryer. He's got to buy a house. He's got to buy stuff to put in the house. He's got to buy a car that keeps breaking. Every time you buy something, they're going to tax you for that. And the whole bottom line, if you ever want to argue taxes with somebody, don't get in any of this. Just say, if the super rich want to change the rates, all that means is the super rich don't want to pay as much. So when they pay less, you either got a smaller pie or the poor people pay more. One or the other. If you want fewer cops and fewer meat inspectors and fewer all that stuff, fine. That's what the Republicans want. They want to shrink government. They think government's a bad thing. And when you hear these some bitches talking about we need to make it more fair, yeah, we need to make it more fair for the super rich because it's so unfair to have all those billions and have to pay taxes on it. Life is just a bitch when you're super rich. Well, there you had it. Bart Cop Radio, show number 131 in the can. Hope you liked it. Hope you liked parts of it. And you know, I really was going to do a show a week, but that damn ice storm, the once in a century, worst ice storm of all time. Yeah, I've always got an excuse, but I did a show, an easy show. 130 was easy. And then we had the big ice storm, lost power. Well, didn't lose power, lost internet, lost cable, lost everything but power. So I took a Tuesday off, got a pretty decent show together. At least I liked it. I did it drunk. What the hell? And remember, we listen to the feedback here. If you write in and say, Bart, I like this, I didn't like that, I'm more likely to do that next time, because if I hear from three people and two of them said, we like this part, I figure, hey, everybody likes it. Okay, so I'm going to get to work on show number 132. I'm going to probably record it Tuesday, so I'd like to have it up Wednesday or Thursday next week. I'd like to thank all the subscribers. I'd like to thank the people who sent the checks with love written on there instead of for some other damn reason. Because everybody knows that when you send a check with love, it doesn't involve the IRS. Screw Bush's IRS. We'll defund this war together. So this is Bart. I'm a K-Drag. I'm in my shorts. I'm cooking chicken tonight, and I'm in a good mood because I got another show done. Yay!
Did I ever tell you about the first guitar I ever bought? So the fellow lived across the street in front of me, had a good time. So he said, I sell it to you for $1.25, McGee. I didn't have $1.25, and I said, I'd give him 50 cents now. And he let me have the guitar. And do you know I was 3 years paying him for that guitar? And he threatened to take it back so many times.
I know the first harmonica I played was 25-inch harmonica. And I had to wait the whole week for that quarter.
A lot of things have happened through the years.
You're right.
You don't tell people about it, they really don't know about it.
Well, I'll never forget those. I think about this thing a whole lot of times. So we decided we'd go in this supermarket and get us some cold cuts. Cold time, he said, that's our father, man. Think we got to take some out, no pay for it.
Well, you couldn't see and I couldn't run. What are we going to take?
So we run. We drove up to this gas station. Brian and Tooth is home. The man come out. Brian said, fill him up. He looked. I don't sell no black gas, man. I said, good God.
He didn't even have no black water. Only thing he had dark was Coke, and he didn't sell them to us.
That's right.
Let's get out of this town. It don't make sense.
So Brian starts up the car and we back on the road again.
On the road again.
On the road again.
Save your tears for me, mama.
Thank you, tears for me, mama.
Please don't cry no more.
Please don't cry no more.
Don't you cry no more.
But don't you cry no more.
Well, Brian, you know, man, when we were then living in Harlem, that New York, man. 1944 and 48 and all that. We used to drink all that liquor. We used to buy a pint, you know, and I drink half, you drink half. You told me, said, Brian, let me get mine in Frisco. You don't see what you're drinking. Then we'll get drunk then. Coming down the street, staggering along. He said, well, Sonny, said, man, you walk for me and I'll see for you.
But you know, when I first met you, Sonny, I really didn't think that you had a handicap. Yeah, but you was crossing highways and byways and everything. I didn't realize that until, I really didn't know until we got to New York.
Oh, I could cook it and everything, but I don't know. Maybe nobody would eat it but me, but I could.
Remember the time you cooked the chicken with the tag on?
No.
But I ain't going down.
A lonesome road by myself.
A lonesome road by myself.
All by myself.
On the road again.
Can't carry you, baby.
Can't carry you, baby.
Don't care somebody else.
But Sonny, you were telling me, I always wanted to write about that. It was true about the man swindling you out of some money. You played for him for a long time. Who was that guy?
That guy who got a call Doc. He sold medicine.
Oh, medicine. Sure.
He won't pay him for $3 a week, you know, and he was about 4 weeks in the hole, man. He didn't pay me that. So I said, man, I got need for money. Give me my money. He hold on and knocked me on the tail. He knocked me on the tail, and I come out with a 38. He didn't know I had that. And he had on a pair of white pants. You know, I couldn't see good, but I could see them white pants he had on. And I just shot right at them white pants. The lady was running around the restaurant and said, call the police. This blind man got to kill everybody.
He was on the road again. Did you get away?
I got
we're on the road again.
We're on the road again.
We're on the road again.
We're on the road.
Oh, what a day.
Again.
It was yesterday. I wouldn't take a million for my past. You remember Big Bill?
Yeah, that's right.
We did a lot of things with old Woody, too, but a lot of mine didn't come out. That's when Woody had called us the Streamline Singers. We
were like, yeah.
Streamline, $15, all we could get for the three of us.
Right.
Josh was a good friend of ours. Josh Wright. You know,
yeah.
When we first come to New York, Josh and Led was a team.
That's right. We were on the road and lived at a dime.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we were in St. Louis. He died in 1949.
Who are some of the other people you've made records with? I mean, you know, I pick them up now. What's Chappie Jack Dupree?
I made Chappie Jack Dupree, Big Bill, and Lightning Hopkins.
That's right, Sam Hopkins.
Yeah, you know the first guy I made with one that you.
Well, we did some things with Memphis Slim, too, but it was in Germany, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Memphis Slim, T-Bone Walker. Yeah, and John Lee Hooker.
Yeah, John Lee Hooker.
Shaky J.
Shaky J.
Good gracious, right, what's all those cats?
Whoa, yeah, yeah, yeah. Whoa, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're on the road again. On the road. On the road again.
You know, I was just sitting here thinking about some of the musicians people don't even know about. We play with the Birds. Remember the concert we had with John Mayall?
That's right.
In Canada?
That's right.
I thought that was a lovely one. And we did tours with B.B. King, too.
That's right, overseas. We were a month over there with him. B.B. King.
When did you first meet Todd?
Todd? I must have met Todd. Must have been in the early 60s.
It was the Can Heat. Remember we got the contract in New York about...
They're ready to go on the
and I come and ask you, I said, who's Can Heat? And we didn't know. We went to the agency. What's this can heat on here for, man? We don't need any can heat. That used to be a drink.
Yeah.
We're on.